We're going to focus on affordable housing, manufactured homes, and ways to make housing affordable to a general population.
It's a private offering, so they're not publicly rated. Reg D, C funds. We do have some leverage that is bridged. And by the way, I'm personally invested in the fund, $6 million.
You've created these bonds. Was it to fund the projects that you work on, or is it a financing vehicle that you're offering to other sponsors, developers, or investors?
It can be a hybrid of both, primarily for proactive sustainable bonds for our entity, for proactive.
Here we are with another episode of Real Estate Development Land to Legacy. And today's episode is actually super special because we're going to be talking about a topic that is frankly new to me, and I don't know much about it. So believe me when I say that the questions I ask today are going to be super genuine. I'm not going to be faking, oh, tell me about this thing, because I already know the answer. I truly do not know. We're going to focus on affordable housing, manufactured homes, and ways to, you know, make housing, sorry for repeating myself, affordable to a general population. We'll also touch on raising capital. My guest today is Dr. Kanan Van Williams. Dr. Van, welcome to Real Estate Development Land to Legacy.
Yes, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dr. Van, why don't you introduce yourself, tell the audience what you work on, and we'll take it from there.
Yes, thank you for the introduction. Thank you for having me on this awesome podcast. My name is Dr. Kanan Van Williams. I'm the managing founder of Proactive Sustainable Bonds, which is a Reg D 506C fund that issues our sustainable bonds through the Proactive Realty Income Fund to LLC. Excited to be here. We're in the NOAA housing social impact, affordable housing space for low income and workforce individuals.
Okay, so right away you dropped a few things on me that I personally don't know. So if you could unpack it for us a little bit more, Dr. Van, what are those bonds and what do you do with them? And who buys them? Who issues them? What is that all about?
Yes, sir, I'm glad you asked. So it's a private offering, so they're not publicly rated. Reg D 506C fund, small disclaimer, I need to get out the way, not FDIC insured, may lose value, and it's considered an alternative investment. Yeah. So what we have issued is debt securities for accredited investors, and they support our low-income affordable housing and social impact housing for all ethnicities. We're in several states. And it's basically debt, a debt instrument that just provides a high above market rate return and strong social impact with it, that we keep prices affordable for our residents. Our mandate is 20 to 30% below market rates. We have a Morningstar Sustainalytics report, and you know, we were vetted for a green bond, social impact sustainable bond. And so the sustainable part is that we make sustainable improvements in our portfolios, whether it be multifamily. Oh, and by the way, our segments that we're in is multifamily, manufactured housing, and SRO housing, single room occupancy, motels. We serve low-income populations, workforce populations, and those who need housing, and quite often second-chance housing.
Interesting. So these bonds are issued by your private entity, right? So they're not municipal bonds. They're not backed by anything else other than the assets of the entity, right?
Yes. So real estate, so the bonds are a great question, by the way, Eugene. So the bonds are secured by real estate, hard assets, and A-rated insurers. Again, it's not an endorsement of a guarantee of any sort. It's an alternative investment. So they're secured by real estate and by A-rated insurers, property insurers.
Okay. So other than real estate itself, Right. So other than real estate, there's still this additional layer of insurance protection.
Yes, but that insures the properties themselves, the casualty insurance, in case something happens, you know, a tornado, a flood. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we don't invest in flood zones, but just say some crazy act of nature happened, as well as fires and things of that nature.
Got it. And so help me understand, the bond in this case, in your case, is a substitute to senior debt, like a bank financing. Is that the idea? So instead of borrowing from a bank, you issue these bonds and then you sell them on the open market?
Yes. Yeah. And so just other disclaimer, we do have some leverage that is bridge debt. And so the capital that we bring in takes out the bridge debt. And by the way, I'm personally invested in the fund, $6 million of my own capital. We currently have $36 million AUM, assets under management. And we're a current income provider that we provide current targeted quarterly income right away.
Okay, interesting. Why did you decide to go, sorry, before I ask that question, to complete the picture in my own head, you've created these bonds. Was it to fund the projects that you work on, or is it a financing vehicle that you're offering to other sponsors, developers, or investors?
It can be a hybrid of both, primarily for proactive sustainable bonds, for our entity, for proactive. However, as part of our PPM, our private placement memorandum, which you know, has all the terms and conditions and disclosures and disclaimers in it. We do have a percentage of the portfolio that we can allocate and invest in other managers or other funds or projects that have, you know, that are similar, aligned with our sustainable development goals, our SDGs. And for your viewers that are, you know, the United Nations created 17 global sustainable development goals. And the ones that we directly advance at Proactive are sustainable goals number 1, 3, 5, 6, 7, and 10.
What does that mean?
So sustainable development goals is the advancement of the United Nations sustainable development goals. So like gender equality, sustainable cities and communities, wastewater treatment, health and well-being, no poverty, all of those things. As it relates to having affordable, sustainable, and quality housing, a good, decent place to live in.
I see. Okay, that's amazing. And then to conclude this line of questions, why did you choose to go with the bond route instead of, let's say, a private debt fund that would act in a similar way, where you could still syndicate the debt fund through private investors and then finance projects as a debt instrument?
Great question. The reason that we chose the bond route is it's a sustainable bond to demonstrate a model in the social impact space that is both profitable and super impactful, that you can have both of those and they aren't mutually exclusive.
Okay. Are the bonds traded on the secondary market? Is there a secondary market for them, or they're completely private, unlisted?
They're illiquid, private, unlisted. They're illiquid vehicles. And they're also short duration. So we have 2-year and 3-year bonds. We do have bonds for persons interested in going beyond 3 years. We can go 2 to 10 years on our one investment tier for accredited investors. And then we have another tier that is more for high net worth individuals and institutions that have higher minimums, but also have higher return profiles.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about the projects that you invest in. What makes them different? What makes them attractive to investors? And how do they fulfill the mission of your business?
Great question. So the projects we invest in are manufactured housing communities, multifamily, and SRO motels that we're able to provide weekly or monthly services for residents. And what makes us different is we go in, our intention is we start from a place of social impact. Instead of the traditional underwriting of, okay, what's the return on investment? It's the, what's our IRR, our impact rate of return? Like how impactful, what does that return look like? How impactful can we be? Can we be 20 to 30% below market rate? Can we achieve no poverty? Can we achieve health and well-being through providing quality, affordable housing? So we invest in what's called NOAA housing, naturally occurring affordable housing. We do not build anything new, and we focus on rapid housing. How quickly can we get people into either new brand new manufactured factory-built homes or renovated units, whether they be 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom studios and places like that. So that and the other thing that makes us different is we have a lot less waste in a typical site-built home. That you have a lot of leftover materials in the factory. Everything's measured to precision and used. Say, for example, there's 2 sheets of drywall. They'll be used in the next house and so on. And we have a much less carbon footprint than site built in the average developer. As we focus in our intentionality is to be as sustainable and green as possible. And we also employ a lot of AI water technologies in addition to our other energy efficiencies.
There's a lot of things to unpack here as well. Tell me a little bit more about naturally occurring affordable housing concept. What does it actually mean?
Naturally occurring affordable housing concept is, think of areas that are underserved, distressed communities, distressed properties. So for us, NOAA housing is not just in a neighborhood that's marginalized or underserved. It's also properties that have been overlooked, that are neglected, that are blighted, those types of properties. So NOAA housing describes residential rental properties that are affordable to households earning usually 60 to 120% of area median income without, without the use of public subsidies like tax credits, affordability covenants. NOAA also refers to rental properties that are affordable and properties that are Class C properties typically, and also because of market conditions, but not because of public programs. So typically, they're working class people, they're older garden style apartments, small multifamily, or manufactured home parks that are not Class A, that require some light light rehab to maintain affordability.
Okay. And is it possible to, I understand if it's an older property, it's already there, and you could acquire it, maybe freshen it up and put it back on the market, make it available for that segment. Is it possible to develop new housing that would qualify as NOAA housing?
No. Uh-uh. So NOAA housing is a majority of all affordable housing units in the U.S., and it's rarely replaced because new affordable construction is far more expensive. So the preservation of NOAA housing is now a key impact investing in ESG strategy, aligning the United Nations development goals, number 1, 10, and 11 especially. So, for example, a 1970s 20-unit apartment building in a working-class area where rents average $900 to $1,400 compared with new units is a NOAA property, to answer your question. And quite often, it's what's in place. It's naturally occurring. So if you get a building that is boarded up or an apartment building that was distressed, REO, real estate owned, taken back by the bank, sometimes older properties that a developer has started to renovate, but maybe they ran out of their operating budget or whatever the case is, can be defined as a NOAA property.
Okay. Is it possible to invest in NOAA properties as a for-profit enterprise, or it would only be doable as a nonprofit venture?
No, definitely.
The reason I'm asking, I'll clarify the question. If I were to pick up an older property, and if I see that I could update it, renovate it, and lease it up for, you know, 30, 40% more, then my for-profit mindset would tell me, well, yeah, let's pick it up on the cheap from a scenario that you, distress scenario that you described, update it and put it on the market for, you know, 40% more. But then that segment, the target market segment is going to be priced out. However, because there's such demand for housing, in most cases, we're still able to lease it up quite well. But in your model, how does that work? What does make a for-profit business interested in keeping these homes as, you know, lesser priced?
For us, it's because we're a social impact fund. For someone else, they could be market rate. Just not for proactive. Our goal, our mandate is we're social impact investors. So, you know, we aim to be, our intention is to be affordable and below market rate, you know, to our investors, mm-hmm. that we pass on the cost savings benefits. However, for the regular investor who is not a social impact or who is more capital, you know, capital driven, then that model makes sense for them. But at proactive, you know, we wouldn't be able to still be a social impact fund. And by the way, also a third party verified social impact fund. I can tell you about our verifications.
Sounds good. So it's basically a choice, right? It's a choice that you made, that this is going to be your investment profile and this is the route you take. But nonetheless, it's still a for-profit enterprise.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Uh-huh. It is. And we do I forgot to mention, we also have a nonprofit that helps support our work as well as the work of the public, Proactive Impact Foundation.
Okay. How do they support you?
Through Housing Essentials. So just think about a person who comes out of a program. Maybe they were previously unhoused and they need housing essentials such as a television, bed, for the kids, a small table so kids can do their homework, a small set of pots and pans. I'll give you a quick case in point. We had a young lady in Las Vegas, Nevada, who came to our property. And when she came to our property, she had nothing. So we were able to prorate the rent for her, work with her. And on the nonprofit side, we were able to take her to Walmart that day. She was able to get an air mattress. I get some essentials. She's a housekeeper at a big hotel chain downtown Las Vegas on the Strip, leaving a domestic violence situation. So we were able to, for less than $325, really get her started. She's now thriving. She's been in her place now going on 3 months. And she's put some additional furniture on layaway for her kids to come. So that's how the nonprofit supports our work. And also, we're able to provide some individuals with bus passes so they can get back and forth to work, especially if they've started a new job. And then we also do social justice, equity outreach, that we provide cognitive behavioral therapy booklets, workbooks, so that people can start to change their thinking and behavior who may have been in the social justice arena, or who have come out of incarceration, or adolescents, who have had infractions such as shoplifting, stealing, marijuana awareness, vaping, all of those things.
That's an amazing, noble cause that you're pursuing, Dr. Van. You mentioned before manufactured homes. How do manufactured homes play into your business model?
Yes. So we're able to source them. We have a dealer's license. We're able to source them for factory direct prices. We bring them in and we pass it to our parks. What does that mean? We'll bring a home in for $40,000, $50,000. We set that home, move in ready within a few days, and we're able to pass the cost savings benefits on to a family who needs an affordable place to stay that's large enough to accommodate. So, for example, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, that may cost $1,700 in a metro area, we'll be able to provide that same house for $1,200 to $1,350 per month versus the higher rent. And it's also an energy efficient, low E affordable house.
Okay. Are you building these homes like individual infills, or are you building entire parks?
So no. So again, we're naturally occurring affordable housing. So we don't build anything. We go into distressed properties. So we may go into a manufactured home park that's still zoned for a park that has all the good bones. We may have to replace some infrastructure such as water pipes, wastewater treatment. We work, like, for example, in one of our parks, we work with the EPA because we have well water that we tested. And we make sure that it's sustainable, wastewater is safe and flowing as it should. So we'll bring in a factory-built house. We don't build the house. We buy them from factories. We bring the homes in and we set them in place.
Right. Makes sense. Okay. Tell me about a little bit more about your investment program. I understand you're working with investors. You're selling the bonds. What is your target market? Who do you work with? And what are you offering investors?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. So we're currently on, and we have institutional investors as well as retail accredited investors. So again, disclaimer, I need to get out the way for the SEC and FINRA. We are not a guaranteed product, may lose value. It's an alternative investment, but we offer a sustainable bond or bonds, plural. Minimum investment is $20,000 for accredited investors only. And we have return tiers starting at 9% that go all the way up to 75%. So in our 9 to 15% program, that is between 2 and 10 years. Investor's discretion, just as if you'd select a maturity for anything else like a CD. An investor comes in minimum of 2 years. And we've had some people say, we'd like to try it out. I'll come in for a year. And so, you know, we're very flexible that way. We have a second program that is 30% rapid housing. It's a 24-month program with current income. And by the way, our first program is current income also. That's a $250K minimum investment. And when I say current income, what that means is, like, this is November. An investor comes in fourth quarter and they receive their first payment in the first quarter, you know, the very next year, 2026 and so on, depending on whichever quarter you come in, you receive your targeted preferred payment. The next quarter, preservation of capital is always our number one goal and objective. Our third program is $2 million. You come in and that's another rapid housing bond. It's a 36-month program with current income, and it's a 75% return. So current income in year one is 6%, year two, 8%, year three, is also 8% targeted. And in month 24, the return profile is you receive the 53% bonus along with the return of capital targeted in year three. We currently have 36 million AUM, of which I'm 6 million of my own personal capital is invested in the fund. We have a portfolio of properties, and we can certainly share more with viewers or anyone who's interested that they can contact us through sustainablebonds.com or invest at sustainablebonds.com, or they can reach us at 1-800-626-2089, 1-800-626-2089, or just call me directly, 803-989-8264. And I forgot to mention, Eugene, our impact verification. So we have third-party verified impact. So it's no impact washing, no ESG washing. Morningstar, we're verified through Morningstar Sustainalytics. We are a UN PRI signatory. We also have Impact Evaluation Lab assessment, as well as a Blue Mark Fund ID fund verifier assessment.
Incredible. That was extremely interesting and valuable information, Dr. Van. It's unlike anything else that we've talked about before on this podcast. So I do thank you for this, and we'll definitely put all of the contact information in the show notes. If anybody's interested, please reach out to Dr. Van and mention that you heard him on Real Estate Development, Land to Legacy. Thank you again.
Thank you. And I'm also on LinkedIn for your viewers that follow us. On LinkedIn under Kanan Williams, you'll see a lot of my posts. the people we help. We have videos that talk about our strategy that we're executing. Sometimes you hear about impact funds and they're going to do this or they have a theory. No, we've executed. We've returned $7.5 million to investors to date. We love what we're doing, and it's all about impact, changing lives. And also my book is on Amazon, Driving Social Impact Investment.
Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.